A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
Now, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank on 1010XL.
Good evening. Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Faber, and Captain Scott Shank is not here, and Captain Ricky Papoor.
That's me.
I knew you were coming. And it's, you know, it doesn't sound like he had a very good day. You know, he's listening, and right now he's steaming.
I don't know why, but when he's down,
yeah,
he makes me want to jump on him.
Oh, there's no question. You see, all of us, and just so folks, there's like six or seven charter captains, right? And we, you know, at the end of the day, we kind of exchange messages about what we caught, and it's kind of fun. And when Scott hasn't, when he's had a bad day, he doesn't, like, leave anything out, you know? Yeah. And it's just so much fun.
I can't wait that when he's been having a negative mindset and he's talking like that on our text.
Yeah.
I can't wait to
I know.
To say something.
Or even better, wait for somebody else to respond.
Oh, yeah.
Like Leon or Captain Rob Bennett. They egg it on.
Sometimes we even make these elaborate plans that are totally false, but...
Yes, totally.
It works out because we get him, and when he throws the old F bomb at you,
that's
how you know you got it.
there's no question. So Scott has a company called Captain's Choice Tackle, and he makes some of the best jig heads, inshore, offshore jig heads that you will find on the market. And he makes all kinds of rigs, but we're always sending him pictures of bent jig heads, you know, saying, "Damn, dude, I lost a fish on this." Well, we've taken the pliers and bent it out, you know, yeah. And he's like, "That can never happen." We're like, "Dude, we're just fishing. We're not tightening the drags down or anything, you know." And he's all in about it.
I told him I had a big shiner on, and that's what got this bent.
it's good stuff. Good stuff. Man, you can start to feel this, can't you? I mean, like, you know, see, end of March, I know this sounds crazy. I actually have my first charter for the year tomorrow. I don't get started until March anyway, but I haven't had any weather. I'm running the Sea Fox again this year. So if anybody wants a really beautiful Valentino boat, Whalen Bay is selling it for an amazing price. But anyway, I went back to the bay boat. And the reasoning behind that, you fished with me on the Valentino.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's awesome. Once it's in the water, it's a big boat for one guy, though.
Yeah.
You know, I just getting in and out of it, you know, launching it by yourself every day, putting it on the trailer by yourself every day is tough, you know. So kind of went back to the bay boat, and I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. I'm excited. It looks like it's gonna be a little cool, a little northeast wind, but you know, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it looks like Saturday. I'm gonna, you know, the last day of the Northeast Florida Wahoo Shootout.
Is that really the last day? Wow. So the last day that anybody's been able to truly fish is when you and I went.
That's right. Last Thursday, week ago.
It was last Thursday. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yep. So. You know, hopefully there's still some fish around.
Mm-hmm. But this is what happened last year.
Oh, yeah, the last day of the tournament.
Yeah, the last day of the tournament.
hours.
Smacked him.
Yeah. And if I was leading right now, if I had the 311,
yeah,
you know, I'd be, man, why not one more day of Northeast? You know, so you're going to give a bunch of really good fishermen one more shot at going now.
And there are a lot of good fishermen left.
What I'm saying. Yeah, I looked at the leaderboard. I went and kind of studied it, and I was like, wow, there's some guys that if they catch a 95 and an 85, they got a shot. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some guys that are up there, and I found it interesting. I went and looked at the leader of the Wahoo Shootout, and his second day, which he weighed in, I think there's a 6-fish aggregate Calcutta.
Okay.
And I was his second day, dude. He had like a 75. He did not beat his third place fish,
right?
But he had three just solid fish. I mean, there's just no way in hell somebody could beat that.
No, yeah, you know? He had a hell of a tournament series there, right there.
Yep.
And you know, he had some success in other tournaments too before this one. This year, I mean, he's had lots of success before this. But yeah,
you know what's so interesting is how. How long have you been truly tournament fishing?
Oh, I've only done two.
Okay. Well, I've done it my whole life.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just going to tell you that you will see people like this get on a roll.
Yeah.
It's not. It is. It's crazy. My whole life, I'm like, dude, why can't that be me? You know what I mean? And they may not win every tournament, but they're like in the top five. And I mean, Alon Bryan years ago, I think he won like five in a row. I mean, crazy, you know? So that's what you're finding.
Wahoo fishing seems to be cyclical for sure, because I can remember when I first got into it, you know, like maybe 2018, 2019, somewhere in there, you know, Ryan Worthington and Eli Jensen, they were really just tearing the tournament series up. And then after that, I think, you know, like Jeff Stamm, he won the Wahoo Shootout and the Wahoo, what was that tournament called?
The
Wahoo Junkies Challenge, I think it was.
Okay.
He won both of those in one year.
And then he won a Kingfish tournament.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And Matt and Louis Joseph, before all those guys, they were doing really good. So, like you said, it's cyclical.
Yeah,
it's like,
it is.
And then it's almost like it just kind of goes away.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
The mojo, you better take advantage of it when you got it. And that's why it's so funny, myself and James Schulte and Brother Dave, who fishes with me, we call ourselves the Average Joes. Because it's like, you know, I mean, we catch plenty of 22 to 32 pound fish. We just haven't been able to stick a 40 or something.
Which amazes me too. I mean, not, I guess it doesn't amaze me, but it surprises me, because you have more fishing intel for that, like a beach tournament.
Oh, yeah.
than anybody.
Yeah.
Because you're fishing every day up to that point.
Absolutely. I mean, No question. You know, and since they've gone to beach tournaments, whether it, you know, it be old school or King of the Beach, I'm as confident as I'll ever be. But with the guys that can still fish offshore on other tournaments, I have zero chance. I mean, I really believe that. I mean, look, you caught a 54 and a 48 in one day. Okay, that doesn't happen on the beach. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't. So. And by the way, you're not the only one to do that. I mean,
I know. It was actually popular that week.
Yeah,
yes. Right. A lot of people caught big fish that week.
But we're talking kingfish, folks. We're not talking about wahoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've told multiple people this, and they don't understand, because I've never caught a big kingfish.
Right.
My biggest up, and honestly, I didn't catch it, but the biggest on the boat that I was fishing on the boat was 38 pounds.
I remember that. Yeah.
And, you know, a 53-pound king is actually 53 pounds is just monstrous to me.
Yeah.
I've never even seen one
that big, I don't think. That's a giant.
Yeah, so I tell people, I was like, you know what? I didn't care about the wahoo that day. I finally caught me a big kingfish.
I caught me a 50-plus. 50,
yeah, 53. Shh.
But I'll bet that it's a wahoo fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We didn't know.
No, there's no way you would know unless you saw. Even if you saw the fish, because those big fish are, they have a a really dark gray back, just like a wahoo does when they, when, you know, unless you saw the stripes, you know.
And we were fishing in green water and overcast, so we didn't see the strike. We didn't see, you know, until the fish got up to where we could see, you know, the good. I had no idea. I thought it was a wahoo the whole time.
You got it up there and you're like, whoa, that's a big kingfish.
Yep.
Yeah.
When it hit the deck, I was like, what have we done here? And I knew, I was like, that if that's not 50 pounds, I'm shocked.
Right, exactly. And yeah, you know, you that's cool stuff. And like I said, with that fishery, so many guys know it now, you know. And now you're even learning it more because of
wintertime.
Live baiting for wahoo has even opened your eyes more to catching big kingfish.
And it's the same thing.
It's the same
thing.
We're
doing absolutely nothing different.
No, which is... Now, I know we need to take a break, but the one thing that you don't do is you're not using a downrigger.
Yeah, I don't know why, though.
Have you ever caught a wahoo on a ribbon fish?
No, but that's because you can't get ribbon fish right now.
You could buy big frozen ones.
You could. I couldn't find any. I tried to.
You did? Okay. Did you try Strike Zone? They've always got those big ribbon fish in that freezer. As soon as you walk into the right, they've got all the squid and ballyhoo, and they've always got.
I was down in Daytona and I tried down that way. I called every tackle shop down there.
No kidding. Because the one thing about a ribbon fish is they love to be trolled a little bit faster.
Yes.
Than a pokey.
And I feel like that's a good solution. Like
another presentation.
And it gets it down a little bit, which could, you know, a ribbon fish, that chrome color is making a lot of flash.
Yeah.
If the fish doesn't bite it, he comes up to look at it.
Sure he does.
And if he comes up to look at it and sees those live bait swimming around his head, he's gonna be all in.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's take a break here. On the Reek Power Fishing Forecast Show, Captain Ricky Popora, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. When we come back, a special guest, Captain Corey Sparks.
Nice.
He's filling in for Captain Leon Dane. I'll be right back.
This is the Wing Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Ricky Dupore, sitting with Captain Kevin Favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got old Bill Fish Chip Wingo with us here.
Bill Fish Chip Wingo, I like that.
He sent me a Bill Fish report.
Yeah.
The Bahamas is having an absolute phenomenal year. I mean, off the charts. If you read through all those, there's some incredible. I mean, they had one boat that had four slams in one day. In one day, yeah. Other boats catching and releasing like three and four white marlin, and then four or five sailfish on top of it.
So tell us again what a slam is.
A slam is three billfish. You could do it with anything, but over there they're generally doing it with white marlin, blue marlin, and sailfish.
Yeah, so, three different species.
Yeah,
three different species of billfish. So. Which is hard enough because it happened to me once in my career of running them. And, we fished a lot for them, but that's pretty awesome to have four slams in one day. There's some – Jim Lex boat did real well over there on one of the tournaments, too. So, but
that
anyway.
That doesn't surprise me. They got some talent on that boat. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
I like that boat, too. I really like that boat.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got a big cockpit. I like
it. It does have a big cockpit on it. Yep.
I don't know why I thought you were fishing with us yesterday, Kevin. I was looking forward to seeing you out there. But I'm glad you didn't have to go through that.
Minyard doesn't like me, you know, so. To tell you the truth, I was actually booked yesterday. And so I started tinkering around on the Sea Fox on Sunday. And look, it's been sitting a year, you know, and there was just some things that I needed to make sure, you know, when you're running charters, you want to make sure everything's obviously safe. And there were some things that I just didn't like, Chip. So I actually, I canceled my trip yesterday because I took the boat into Whalen Bay early Monday morning, and it didn't have any major issues, But, you know, there was some condensation in the motor. There was, you know, the power steering pump was out. There was just a lot of stuff that needed to be taken care of. So, I was already booked.
Yeah, well, so, we missed you. I didn't miss, yeah. I mean, I didn't miss, you didn't miss anything on the bike yesterday, but, you know, it was crazy. And then Scotty sent me to a desert. So you can play with him on that one today. So, well, we did catch
Wait! Hold on. We got to go back to this. So where was the charter out of?
It was out of Aunt Kate.
Oh, it was out of Aunt Kate. Okay. How many boats?
17.
Whoa.
17 boats.
Oh my gosh!
That's
a big one. And so what tide, because I know that the weather was iffy in the morning, but then it got really pretty in the afternoon.
Oh, it was pouring rain and lightning when I left the dock at Palm Cove Marina. and I got wet up and through about Palm Valley. Then it turned out nice, then it blew, and the tide started ripping, and it just made it difficult where I was fishing, and I fished a lot of spots. And even next to old Captain Leon at one time, but it was just a slow bite, you know, and then on the way home, I got it again halfway through Palm Valley. It's like, hey, you want some more rain?
You know, so. It Chip, seriously, though, probably the toughest conditions that you'll have is after a front like that. Mm-hmm. Northwest winds got cold. The barometric pressure is dropping like a rock, probably still. They're just not going to bite. You know what I mean? I get it. You know, it was Stellar Group.
Yeah, Stellar. Great people.
Awesome people. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I fished with Stellar. Yeah, absolutely great people. And when you have a giant group of people like that, of something that you have put probably a month in, you know, and they have on their side too, put all this together. If it's fishable, you're gonna go.
Yeah,
you know. What I mean?
That's a lot.
Well, it was definitely safe, and it was fun. So
right,
you know, and it's just it made for a long day. Get wet on the way there, have a bad day, then get wet on the way back. I'm like,
so you motored just, all the way down.
Oh yeah, I do it all the time. It's not that bad. It's a nice ride. Just crank up the stereo and
I totally agree with you. I love that ride, man. I mean, I get it. Once you get past Palm Valley, but that ride from Aunt Kate's to JTB is magnificent.
I've never.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's magnificent. It's awesome.
I don't think I've ever been north of Pine Island, just a touch north of maybe, just a little north of Pine Island is the furthest I've ever been up.
Well, I'll have to show it to you, Ricky.
You got
to
get him out of San Mateo, all right?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get him up here and take him for him helping me last year acquire a lifetime goal. So I'm going to have to get him out fishing eventually. So
yeah,
but,
so good time.
So I was telling, you know, Ricky, I worked on the boat all day today because I have a trip tomorrow. But, man, it's just starting to feel like fishing season. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It's the end of March.
Absolutely.
You just kind of feel it in the air. I know that there's been a smattering of the big bluefish caught at the jetties. And I'm leaving at 8:30 in the morning. And I think there's like a 10:30 high tide. So I'm gonna beat those rocks up and see if I can find some of those big blues, because there's that is a ball, and it hasn't happened in a long time. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, there's been a few. And then what's up with the big drum bite?
I was just
spot on the, you know, that deeper hole on the bend up there a little ways.
Yes.
They're there. I marked them like crazy, but they just didn't want to eat yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and I have that little bag I make up that has crab, clam, and shrimp in it, and I make this little ball, and then I put a hook through it, this mesh net, and I drop that down, and they didn't even want to eat that, you know. But that's usually the way to do it. So. But there's fish. All I could think of was out there in that deeper water. They just didn't want to eat yesterday, and the tide was smoking too. It was. I think tomorrow's gonna be a whole different world. So I'll be.
Let everything kind of stable off. You know what I mean? It's only supposed to be a high of 70 tomorrow with northeast at like 10. I mean, I probably have to wear my jeans.
That's a nice day right there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chip. Absolutely.
That's a great day. I don't mind the east wind until they start coming from the south. And then that messes me all up down there, especially. It seems like the water dirties up and it just isn't right. But you know, it's been a while since I fished down there, too. You know, I've been staying away from it and fishing up north here. And I had a pretty good week. I mean, Monday I called it after 2.5 hours because it was blowing 30 knots. And I looked at my clients and I said, can you guys fish tomorrow? And they're like, yeah. I go, well, let's bag this and fish tomorrow. And we ended up doing pretty good second day.
This is not fun. Yeah, we can sit out here and grind for 2 more hours, but it ain't going to happen. Yeah.
Well, when your trolling motor's running on 10 and you throw an anchor down and the anchor's dragging with 100-foot of scope out, something's wrong, So it's like, whatever. You know, I just want to go out and catch fish. That's what I really want to do. And when it's not happening, you know, it's unfortunate, but it does happen. So,
And by the way, the older you get, the more you understand that it ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? As a 32-year-old tower captain, I'm like, all right, we're going to go here. We're going to do, you know. And as a 58, I'm like, hey, guys, let's do this some other time.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
That's not going
to happen. Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, it's just
when
not,
you start it, sitting there overthinking it, you're like, ooh, let's go. You know, it's like this pretty simple process. They're either going to eat or they're not, you know.
I know that Leon didn't call in, but man, that was a hell of a trout that he caught.
Oh, he had a nice trout yesterday morning, didn't he?
What's that?
I think he had 3 of them that went from 21 to like 24 inches or something like that.
Yeah,
pretty fit.
Yeah, I mean, I rigged up the float rigs for sure for tomorrow. You know, I mean, because northeast wind, incoming tide, it kind of says trout to me, and or jetties, you know, and if it's not blowing too much, but I gosh, I mean, there was a couple of them that they were, that one looked 5 pounds all day, you know.
Yeah.
25 inches, that's close.
Well, it's pretty fish, you know. I like seeing those too. I haven't seen many of those this year, and it's kind of disappointing, but a lot of guys up here though, Kevin, are catching really big redfish on crankbaits, being a billed lipped hard bait. And big fish, you know, like fish up to 40 plus inches, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, and it's just a matter, if you got a client that understands how to run one of those deep, you know, the what do they call them? The DR-D15s that you used to use in bass fishing all the time in deeper water.
How deep can you run that bait?
Well, they supposedly they'll get down to 10 feet or 10 to 15 feet. But I mean, you got to make a good long cast and bring it back in, you know, into the current to get it to dig that far.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. To have that client is, rare to say the least.
You know,
I mean, because some of the most fun charters I ever did were topwater plugs. Literally doing the Leon thing, leaving at 5:30 in the morning and being on the spot, sitting there waiting on enough light to cast. And you know, you've got these two guys and they have no idea how to work a Zero Spook, you know, and you're like, oh, this is
that's a rhythm that's hard to teach.
It is, you know. I mean, it really is. But the crankbait is a little more, idiot proof. You know, you kind of reel it. But now, if you're trying to get it down to 15 feet, it's like Chip said, you got to be able to read the current and the waters to get that bait to go down that deep. But a 40-inch redfish on a crankbait, whew.
Yeah, I bet that's fun.
But hell yeah. Yeah. I want to go do that.
Some of my fondest memories were down there, you know, around the well area throwing topwater plugs years ago on those shell banks and just Amazing. Getting clobbered by big trout. Yeah. You know?
Oh, my gosh. You know, and the cool thing about that is that I loved to fish the high incoming tide. You know, when you literally you fish up against the grass on that pretty water and stuff. And, you know, I always told people when I was on those charters, we're throwing those big zero spooks, look, this is not a 10-fish day. You know, this is, you know, 5 or 6, 7 good bites, and you're going to catch 3 or 4 of them. But those 3 or 4 that you catch are, I mean, you might catch 10-pound trout, which is a trophy, you know, to anybody.
Yeah. I've never caught one that big.
Yeah, I've caught 2 that were 11 and a half, just absolute giants.
Yeah.
Well, the guys who fish, like, that'll fish with you on those trips, they know.
And they do. You're right. Because you explained that to them before. And you could give them the option. Do you want to go fish the low tide and catch slot reds and some rat reds and bend more rods, or do you want to go try to catch a trophy fish? You know? And you'd be surprised how many of them wanted to go catch trophy fish. It was fun.
That's totally true. Totally
enjoyed it. So, you got a trip tomorrow, Chip?
Oh, no.
you know what? I just had a guy just send me a text, and he said, hey, will you ask Chip? He said, I'll give him $1,000 for tomorrow and Saturday. I can't believe that,
Tell him
Chip.
If he'll meet me at my brother's pond. At about 1 o'clock, I'll take him.
So.
I'll do it.
The old no. Yeah,
no.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, Ricky's done turkey hunting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
I mean, we hadn't even started. It's ridiculous.
You know, I not to get too far off on hunting, but I just turned 44.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone would have told me as a 40-year-old even, but just say late 30s, early, like right around 40, if you'd have told me that I would not be an avid, like, go hunting every single second that I had off work or whatever, I would have said, you're crazy. I'm going to do this till I die. But, you know, I don't know. I've just kind of lost that drive with it.
It's age.
Yeah.
I mean,
I still want to go.
No. I still want to go too. But
I'm not dying anymore.
Yeah. I'm not. Here's the whole thing. I'm not going to piss my wife off anymore.
Right.
By, honey, I'm going to the woods. You know, seriously.
Yeah. I'm not pawning stuff anymore.
Yeah. You know, there were some times this fall. I'll admit, you know, I kind of got the elbow in the side, you know, and Terry's like, are you going to go this morning? I'm like,
yeah,
it ain't right.
You're starting to sound like me, Kevin. Yeah, just the evenings on deer. Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a, and by the way, look, I love to go listen to the woods wake up. Don't get me wrong. It's phenomenal. But I'm so into nature and the watching. It's so cool.
It's a different perspective.
It is a different perspective, you know. But, oh, yeah, dude, 30 years old?
I can remember the 20s. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I never pawned anything, but I got close many a times. I had more drive. I was just busting it. But, you know, you're having to work. I was working 5, 6, 7 days a week
Hell
at that stage.
And, sometimes two jobs. Yeah, yes. So you can pay for that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chip, thanks, buddy. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. You guys have an awesome night.
All right, buddy. You too. good memories. You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. And we come back, we'll talk to Captain Corey Sparks. Be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. And whenever you pulled up here, Did you happen to notice how good my yard looks?
I did. Last couple times.
Yep. WW Land www.billyandlawn.com. They now have a website. Billy and Danielle Wilson. That's an inside joke. They have our place. It's so funny because Carrie and I are getting ready to put the house up for sale, right? And Carrie made the point. She's like, you know, our house has never looked this good. I'm like, you're right. It never has, you know. And they came in and the landscaping, you know, we actually had everything kind of cleared in January. You know, it kind of set kind of blank until we get some warm weather in the middle of February. And since then, oh my gosh, it's amazing, folks. If you want them to do any kind of work, they do pressure washing, they'll do pavers, obviously any kind of landscaping. Billy and Danielle Wilson, it's www.landandlawn.com. All right, we got Captain Corey Sparks.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Corey, what's happening?
Not much. I heard you talking about me. You said that 32-year-old that didn't know when to quit, and that was me today. Just got off.
We weren't talking about kids, okay?
I'm the 43-year-old that doesn't know when to quit. I'm like, come on, guys. They're like, dude, we got dinner plans. I go, no, we got to fish one more spot, and it just wasn't happening. So.
You know, I'm like that too. Still, I got drive to stay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go. I have less drive than I used to. Yep. I have a harder time talking myself into leaving the comfort of my home.
I'm just glad it's not just me. Yeah.
But when I start getting defeated, that if I have that feeling of defeat, like I was after a bird and he outsmarted me, or if I'm fishing and I feel like I'm just this close, if I just try this one more thing or try this other spot, or
right.
I can stay pretty late doing that because I don't like to be defeated.
No, I know, and it's the same thing when you're on the charter.
Yep,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I've always got that one spot in the back of my mind. And by the way, like if I'm coming in from offshore, or I'm coming down the beach, and I see something that's enticing, whether it be a bait pod that looks nervous, you know, or maybe even a ray or a school of jacks, I'm stopping. You know what I mean? I'm not that, oh, our 4 hours is over, we're going in, because I'm like, oh, wait. And by the way, I've made a many a day on that, you know, paying attention to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, out of your corner of your eye, you see a splash, you know, and you look out there in that 30 feet and you see that big black dark circle of bait, and you know what's happening. There's fish in it, you know what I mean? And you ease out there. And by the way, cardinal rule number 10, never, ever, ever empty your live well out until you were at the dock. Never. I see people do that all the time. I've made that mistake one time years and years and years ago, and it'll never happen again. You know, if you want to just at least keep 10 baits in that live well until you get back to the dock and tie it off and then let them go. But don't run down that beach. Don't come in from offshore emptying your live well out. I mean, it's classic example, Corey.
Yeah.
Fishing a spot that Kirk and I call the special spot. And it's a spot that we found years ago, and he and I were the only two that fished it for years and years and years and years. And he was getting ready to leave, and we were all just amazing by the kingfish. And he said, hey, you know, turn around, I'm getting ready to empty my live well out. And he said, it's going to be, you know, spectacular. And he did. He emptied his live well out, and the kingfish were skying and this, that, and the other. And I looked over, and there's a sailfish.
Oh,
he's just up there eating those, you know, those crippled baits, and just coming up like a tarpon and slurping them. And it's right behind Kirk's boat.
He don't have a
he's
bait
got
left.
Nothing. He's dying. He's looking underneath the seat. And he's like, throw me a bait.
Here you go.
I did. I said, here, Kirk. Oh, it stopped a little short. I got him. He'll never forget that. I caught that sailfish right underneath his, right behind his motor, man, and there was nothing he could do because he didn't have any bait. So anyway, as an old fisherman, as a charter captain that's been doing it a long time, do not get rid of all your baits. You come in that inlet, and by the way, I've come in that inlet thinking, okay, you know, people, you want me to empty the live well? Well, that doesn't mean there's not going to be a tarpon feeding, you know, underneath a bridge or something like that. You know, I mean, I've seen it. I've just seen it too many times.
Plus, I enjoy feeding the jacks at Comanche.
100%. That's a total game. I love doing that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're. And by the way, there's been some tarpon in there with them too the last couple of years. That's even more fun.
Yep.
Yeah. So
we got blue up here. The heron that's always.
Hanging
around. I just got out, and he's at the back of the boat. Now he's following Leon down the ramp, and you park your truck in the morning, and he's been walking in the mud, and you come down, and you look like you got turkey prints all over the deck of your boat. You're like, golly.
There was when Leon said the name of that bird was Blue, it reminded me of a movie. There was, I think it was called Old School.
Yeah. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're my boy, Blue. Yep. So what'd you catch today?
I just dumped out a bunch of live shrimp and mud minnows, and Blue preferred mud minnows tonight, if anyone's wondering what they're biting on. So, we caught some trout and bluefish. We kind of were hoping for a decent trout bite. Leon was on a good trout bite yesterday, and we threw a lot of popping corks along the grass lines, but... it was tough. It was blowing, and it was tough on. I had a dad and son, and they fished the heck out of the day, but just didn't materialize today. Yesterday, the bite was a grind, but fish fed. Redfish ate shrimp. I didn't catch anything on mud minnows yesterday. But I was fishing all Scotty's holes, so thanks to Captain Scott Shank for giving me a second.
Man, he's taking a whip. So what did he do? I mean, so when y'all were at Aunt Kate's, he's like, Captain Corey, you need to go down here to marker number 14 and or 38 and fish that west bank. And Chip, you need to go to 21 and fish that east bank. Is that what he did?
Everybody started heading north from that 17 boat charter, and I'm like, well, my group was the last boat to get on. I'm like, every spot's going to be taken. So Scotty goes, I'm headed south. I go, is there room for two? He goes, oh yeah, come on, I'll show you all my stuff. I'm like, all right, because he knows I won't beat it up like Leon would. He's like, he's yelling at my clients, if you take a picture, if you send this to Leon, I'm going to kick your, you know. He's fired up. He's like, do not. Ledley, and so I followed him around, and then, you know, it was an adventure just watching Scott Shank charter fish. So I had a great day.
You don't even have to be close to him; he can communicate with you three creeks away.
Oh yeah,
without a radio,
without a radio,
or phone.
He was rubbing elbows with the woman on my boat, and they were giving each other crap, and I couldn't tell if one's feelings were hurt or not, but they were at it. I'm like, this is great. She said she didn't want to call into the show and talk to him. I go, I might get to call in this Thursday. She goes, oh, I'll call and talk to you, but I'm not talking to him.
You know, I have that happen a lot on my boat when I fish around Scotty. People don't like him on my boat. I don't know what it is. It happens a lot.
Well,
I gotta tell you, he was fun. He was joking, and there was nothing. You know,
No. He's just having fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what he does is, like, I think it just rubs people wrong because they feel like he's another charter boat captain. He's not, you know, their charter boat captain. So I don't really know what it is, but there's something to it because it happens like common. Like,
I mean, I have to turn the VHF down at times.
I turn mine off. If he's fishing, mine will be off. Yeah, just call me on the cell phone.
we caught a big red. He goes, all right, this is my number one spot, Corey. This is my number one spot.
Let me ask you, was your number one spot in a creek?
I can't. I promise, Scotty, and that's one man I don't want against me, so I can't tell
okay.
you.
So I'm going to tell you, folks, yes, it was in a creek.
Yes.
It only has two spots, okay?
I was going to answer, too.
I was like, yep.
So it was in the second bend of this creek.
So we're in the second bend of this creek, and we drop a shrimp down. And the lady gets a 27-inch, and the lady he was bumping heads with, she goes, "See, we caught a fish." And he's like, "It's my hole." I go, "Thanks, Captain Scotty." And she goes, "Your aura's off. We caught it because we got good aura or something." It was hilarious, man.
That's good.
It was great.
Yeah, but it does sound like, and again, March, just so folks know, March is a volatile weather month, okay? You really need a day of calm weather for fishing to get good, at least a day. Yeah. And when you have these back-to-back-to-back, you know, days of wind, rain, you know, cold, hot, you know, fish don't like it. You know, they can go days without eating. You know what I mean? And if that metabolism isn't correct, and the weather, they're not going to eat. So it's the last couple of days, just what you described, Corey, it's just been a tough bite. Unless you're fishing Scotty's holes.
Yeah. Well, I might start chartering out of St. Augustine because Scotty's the man. What can I say?
Oh, he'd love to have you, you know.
Yeah.
Come and fish his two spots, you know, for sure.
At the same time as him.
At the same time as him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or better yet, him pull up and you're sitting there.
You know,
yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Then it ain't funny.
No. Yeah.
It's so interesting the difference of how we fish now. Because when I was full time inshore guide, and by the way, even then I was still doing tarpon trips, you know, on the beach and stuff like that. I didn't do any kingfishing at that time, but I let's just say I had 50 inshore spots, different tides, you know, north, south. I could let a spot rest for 3 weeks, and never.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did. I never went back to the same spot the next day. I didn't. I mean, I would bounce around because I had the confidence, and there was nobody fishing.
Right.
And now, I mean, I will never forget the one spot that I had down there around 312. This is years ago, and somebody had taken a picture with the 312 bridge in the background. It may have been like a MySpace. and I came back the next day, and he was there with his buddy, two boats on my spot, and that had never happened to me before. Never. Whew. I went Scotty Shank on him.
I did.
You know, I mean, look, you can't do this. Well, you can't say that anymore.
No, yeah,
you can't. I mean, there are no secret spots.
Yeah. What gets me is with all the information that we willingly share, we write fishing reports, we give reports on the air, we post stuff on websites and Facebook and stuff, you still get people that are out there just saying, "Well, show me some good spots." No, there's no spots anymore. You better learn to adapt and throw a different technique or a different lure or bait or whatever, because there's boats on every spot that you fish, you know? So
absolutely.
That's the absolute truth. Yeah, and by the way, you know, I was always very honest with people. Don't ask me to do that. That's the last thing you want to say to a charter captain. Just show me some spots. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you Volano Bridge. You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to.
Which, by the way, is a good spot.
Yeah, which is a good spot. Yeah, but everybody else knows it too. You know, I mean, that was. Again, that was totally years ago, and first off, I was starving and broke and needed to feed my family. You know, I would always took care of people. You know, and we always caught fish, but I can promise you that I didn't go to my number one, two, three, four, five spots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I went to one that was kind of obvious, and you would fish it and catch fish. But you know what, Corey, saying that, I know we need to take a break. Most of the time, it's not the spot. It's presentation. You know, people don't know how to present a bait. And each spot is different of presenting a bait.
Right.
If you go to a spot on the main intercoastal, and you have an outgoing tide, you know, right to left current at 2 knots, and I'm like, okay, the spot's right in front of the boat, but I want you to throw way out in front of the boat. And just lift your rod tip up and let it bounce to that spot. If you throw it to the spot, by the time it gets to the bottom, it's left of the spot. And not only that, but it's not bouncing naturally now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're already pulling it off the bottom. And the redfish is looking like that. No, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, it's so much of it has to do with presentation. And Ricky, you know, wahoo fishing last week. You know, live bait trolling. Both of us looked at a couple of baits and were like, that doesn't look right. You know, we know what it is to make it look right. You know, and again, I've never done it, Corey, but I knew how to slow troll. I knew what a bait was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
just from king fishing. So much of that has to do with that and not so much just the spot.
You know? Yeah. And that's what I'd say we try to share. You know, we love sharing how-tos, but don't think you're going to figure out the magic wand and sit on a spot and do something, you know. So
exactly. But we appreciate it, Corey.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah, man. Go home, boy, and have a cold one. It's been a long day.
Gobble, gobble. Right. We're loading up.
That's good stuff. All right, we'll be right back with the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Hey, by the way, we're going an extra 15 minutes tonight.
Oh, nice.
We're going to 7:15, so you're going to have to sit here with me for an extra few minutes. We'll be right back.
This is the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Favor, sitting with Captain Ricky. Before we we're going a little longer tonight. I like it.
Yeah.
So I know this doesn't have much to do with fishing, but I was just kind of curious. Have you kept up with what happened in Baltimore?
A little bit, yes.
You know, I mean, that was I had gotten up that morning, and I always. The first thing I do is check my trail cameras, you know, at 6:30, you know, whatever it is, you know. First off, my trail cameras are now the cell phone cameras are great security, you know, because at my property now I've got them all around, you know, my property is in, so I know if somebody is come, and not only that, you want to check the animals out too, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had saw because damn Leon and Scott, they get up at like 4 a.m. and start texting each other, which is crazy.
You know? Including all of us. They include us as a group.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So I have my phone on silence at nighttime. I just do. But they had said something about that ship, that container running into the bridge. And immediately I went and turned on the news and... Damn, dude, I was mesmerized. I mean, it was for us, you know, who are in the marine business. You know, I've been around those container ships. I've worked on really, really, really big boats in the oil field and stuff like that. And when they showed it in real time, when they finally got the footage and how fast that bridge went down, I was shocked.
Unbelievable, yep.
I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, you would think, you know, and the God bless the workers that were on there that lost their lives. I mean, but here's the other thing. If that had happened at 5:30 p.m.?
Yeah, they said I think the timeline was 4 to 5 minutes they had from the we're losing power.
Right.
You know, Mayday.
And the police officers, I don't know how they relayed that.
Me either.
To them. For them to stop traffic on that bridge was a miracle.
How did they get police officers to that base of that bridge that fast? Or did they have a red light they just turned on or something? I don't know. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, no, they got the police officers there. As a matter of fact, the police officers got a lot of the workers off of the bridge. But I was just – and look, I get it. Accidents happen. This whole thing's going to go way deeper. Right. You know, of what happened to the container ship and you know, but you could see the power was on and off, and they had that damn thing in reverse as hard as it would go because it was bilging smoke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean they were trying everything they could do to avoid that bridge, but like I said, the one thing that just hit me was that when they showed it in real time, it was seconds.
The speed of how quick that bridge came tumbling down.
It was like, wow. So, anyway, it's kind of in our realm, you know, but it's not. But it was very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, they're just not designed to take a hit from that direction. You know, they're built for load, you know, and live loads and you know, mostly a vertical force mainly, but that side to side. Like, and I don't know how many tons that ship weighed, but we're talking about massive amounts of pressure.
Oh, yeah. They said, I forgot what it was too, but it, yeah. I mean, when you first saw it, you're thinking, oh, that was a small bridge. But then when you saw it, as in before it went down, you're like, dude, that looks like Dave's Point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, golly. So, anyway, I just thought that. That was so interesting because, like I said, I've been on some really, really big boats before, and I can't imagine losing power. You know, and the thing is like at Mayport, when I watch those big container ships come in and stuff, obviously they have the pilot boat go out, but they've also got tugs. You know, and so I would always think that maybe that's why they have the tugs, is because in case something like that happens. I don't know.
They use them for steering, 100%. I've seen them do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw something on the news where they said the tugs had just, you know, recently left him. He went out into the main channel and
yeah, and it's not like a tug can like, turn around.
Right,
and catch up yeah. Because they're slow anyway. You know, I mean, it's not a speedboat, and not only that, but he's already going down current. I mean, to try to, they talk about it takes 5 miles for those boats to come to a stop.
Right.
Think about that, 5 miles, and you're talking 3 minutes of a Mayday call. Wow, so interesting. I just. Looked at it when I saw it, and I like I said, I saw Leon's text and then when I went and watched it and watching it live, it was quite heartbreaking. So all right, so let's take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna look at the forecast. You got one day of Wahoo fishing left.
I'm looking forward to it too. So happy.
All right, here we come, right here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Ricky McPoor. Captain Kevin Favor. And we're
So we need to look and see if you're going to be... So you have one more day to declare.
That's right.
On the Wahoo Shootout, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to go to outdoorshow.com here, and what have you seen?
It looks like Saturday's going to be good. I mean, tomorrow's almost a fishable day for, I mean, if you really wanted to, I think it is.
Yeah, not for me.
No.
Offshore, yeah. But that's, yeah, I'm fishing inshore tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I mean, I think that, and the it's going to be a little chilly, actually, you know, which I'm okay with to wear jeans and go fishing. So here's what they're saying. Now this is inside of 20 miles, mm-hmm. so I'm not a Wahoo guy. North winds 10 to 15, 3 to 5. Tomorrow on Friday, north winds 10 to 15, becoming northeast 5 to 10 in the afternoon, 3 to 5. You got to be tough.
Yeah, that's not really fishable.
That's inside of 20 miles.
Big boat, yes. Little boat, nah.
Yeah. Your boat, ain't no way that you're dragging me out there. I enjoyed it. I had one of the best days I've ever had of fishing, ever.
Yep.
And that's truthful. But I ain't going in that. All right.
Yeah.
Saturday. Here you go. This is classic. Okay, because this is the last day, folks, that people can declare that they've saved their last day. And the guy who's leading, he wants northeast at 20.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the forecast. What's his name, Frank?
Frank Vining.
Frank, sorry about you. Sorry about your luck here. Southwest at 5 to 10, becoming south 10 in the afternoon, seas 3 to 5, but it's 10 seconds apart.
Beautiful.
So anybody who's got a day, they're going to be. Have you actually looked at, to see how many boats might be fishing?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many have actually declared or will actually declare, but there were, yeah. And by the way, a lot of those boats are boats that can win.
No. I went back and studied it. Yeah.
I mean,
it's not over.
Honestly, I kind of feel like we are all fishing for second place.
Sure.
At 311 pounds for three fish.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
But we know what happened last year.
I know. Everybody thought it was over last year, too. By the way, folks, if Sunday, if you want to go offshore, southwest at 5 on Sunday. It's going to be absolutely beautiful on Sunday. And here's a couple things to do. I believe there's pogies on the beach. Go check those bait pods. There could be jacks, there could be cobia, there could be big reds. If you want to just, you know, run up and down the beach, because it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. There's not going to be any seas. So you could do that. You can fish all of those inshore little wrecks. For yellowmouth trout, for black drum, for sheep's head. I'm talking bay boats, you know, because yep. I'm kind of a bay boat guy. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a great weekend for that.
My next several charters will be looking for cobias.
Yeah.
They won't be on the beach yet. It's too early for that. Well,
no, it's not too early. I've caught plenty of cobia on rays the first week of April. Plenty. But it has to be the correct conditions. And when I say that, this looks correct to me. It has to be a warm day to get the rays up.
Water temperature's still too cold, though, I think. I think we're still down. Well, it could change dramatically because it's started getting hot. But I've seen the water temperature change 5 degrees in a day.
Yeah. And that was my point.
Yep.
If it gets hot enough, the plankton rise.
Yep.
Because of the direct sunlight. And so when it gets to that 67, 68 degrees, the rays come up with it. And those fish are there. So don't discount that.
Yeah.
You know, now, I'm not saying they're to Mayport, but I'm saying from Matanzas to Flagler, you will probably come across a ray if you just want to just enjoy a beautiful day and run the beach and find a bait pod and catch fish.
Yeah,
it's that time of year. You know what
it's
I mean.
It's that time of year. Everything's changed. Triple tail. Put some shrimp in.
By the way, put some shrimp. Yep. Great tip. Make sure just buy a half a dozen. You know, make sure you have some live shrimp, Cajun Thunder, a little kale hook, so that if you come across some type of a little, oh hell, it could be a plastic bag or something like that.
Sometimes you'll see a triple tail sitting there, and you'll think it's a plastic bag or
that's
a piece
of exactly
trash.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Go check.
Kind of like what you and I did on the bucket last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
For Captain Ricky Brepore, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Y'all have a great weekend of fishing, and we'll all be there for the outdoor show, the Nimnik Outdoor Show, on Saturday morning from 7 to 10. So come join us. See ya.